This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing today?
Holla at your boy.
Oh, yeah, there's Jeff Russ. Jeff Russ is in the building. I don't know if people know, that's a drop that Russ plays every time he says holla at your boy. Mm. He just did it one time, and he's just been hitting that drop ever since. You don't say it, you never say it.
Nope, not anymore. Not don't need to. You got it right there in the system.
Nailed the first take, and he's done.
Yeah. That's it. I'm out.
He's done.
Went full like Dan Marino. Yeah. We good? Yeah, no, we're good here. Yeah. Cut. Roll.
Yeah, I'm a blackjack dealer. Done. I'm out.
Done.
For those who've never seen that clip, it is one of the best behind-the-scenes clips of a commercial shoot that exists.
The Isotoners
yes.
gloves?
Where he's like, yeah. No, you're good. You got it. One take. It's all you need.
Dan Marino. People always say, why does Dan Marino get the credit he deserves?
Because he's a giant a-hole.
Jerk to, like, everybody. You know? Like, you know, some people, they don't play the game. And look, that's more power to you. Like, Dan Marino, he does not get the credit he deserves of how good he was, how ahead of his time he was throwing the football.
Oh, that guy in another generation.
Oh,
good Lord.
Goodness gracious. Dan Marino was incredible.
You'd think he'd be nicer with those nice, toasty, warm hands and those gloves.
Oh, the guy who played in Miami?
Yeah.
Was like, you went to college in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Western PA.
Where you could really, you could slang some Isotoners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get him a glove endorsement for that South Bay.
Miami.
Hey, look, man, back in the day.
When it's 55 out?
You just had to get your spokesman.
You did.
It didn't matter. We're like, hey, even if he is in Miami, everybody knew who Dan Marino was.
Yeah.
Shout out monoculture.
Which, that leads me to something I saw today. I saw the highest paid NBA players. When you take their salary and their endorsements, you add them together.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. LeBron James, for the first time in 11 years, is not the highest paid player in the NBA.
Steph pass him up?
Steph Curry is number one. His $55.8 million salary with his 100 million endorsements pushing him over the edge. LeBron is two. Mm-hmm. He's only making 48.7. What a bum.
Yeah, the Steph one That's is... All. God, Steph also has...
How's he supposed to feed his family?
I don't know.
Steph has full control of Under Armour basketball.
Yeah. All right. Well,
like that's like part of his contract too. It's pretty.
Let's not feel bad for LeBron and his $1 billion lifetime deal he has with Nike.
Yeah. Not even supposed to be here. Just a kid from Akron.
Just a kid from Akron. Giannis is third, at $103 million.
That'll buy you a lot of euros.
Yeah, that will. That goes a long way in Greece.
Oh my God, that lira exchange rate. Woo, yeah. Buddy.
Then Kevin Durant is fourth. And Damian Lillard is fifth.
That's like the understated thing about Dame not being here. I don't think people truly realize the level of Dame's endorsement and recognition, not only like locally and nationally, but globally. Dame is a literal global star.
Yeah, he only has $18 million in endorsements, though.
Well, that's a lot from what? Modelo and... Adidas and there's a watch, right?
No more State Farm.
No, he has more than 18 million in endorsements. That's not right.
Well, I'm just looking at the data that I have here, which says from Sportico, 18 million this year in endorsements.
There's missing there. That's interesting. I wonder what they're calculating there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he has the same number endorsement wise as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
which. You see Shai in a lot of things outside of what a pro wants?
No.
Yeah. Meanwhile, no.
Well, thank God we don't see that anymore either.
Dame's doing Gatorade, Modelo, Tissot.
Look, I don't know. I'm just going off of what is here.
Yeah, no, it's weird.
Yeah. And by the way, it's a substantial drop off from Kevin Durant to Damian Lillard. KD is $97.9 million salary and endorsements. Mm-hmm. Dame, 66.8.
Yeah, I feel like this...
66.8. That's pretty good.
I wonder, is Adidas stuff probably not out there?
Embiid and Jokic both are tied for sixth.
Well, Embiid got the Skechers money.
They make 51.4 in salary, $8 million annually in endorsements by those two.
How Jokic hasn't done a Taco Bell endorsement yet is still insane.
Yeah, sure.
For those that are unaware, Jokic was drafted during a Taco Bell Quesarito commercial.
But here's my question. Davante Adams, my wife asked me last night, does Davante Adams really have a Taco Bell in his house?
He did.
What? No, he doesn't have an actual Taco Bell in his house.
He did.
That's a ridiculous thing to say. Here's my question about this list, though. Like, most of it, I was sitting there, I was like, yeah, that all makes sense. Who is paying Bradley Beal $7.5 million for endorsements? Bradley Beal is ninth in the NBA, equal to Paul George, in salary and endorsement monies, according to Sportico. He makes 50.2 in salary, $7.5 million in endorsements.
He's got Tissot and Pepsi, but
I've never seen him in a commercial for either one of those things.
He did Pepsi like 5 years ago.
To be fair, Bradley Beal is one of those borderline quote unquote superstars where, like, I enjoy the NBA. I'm not the biggest, hugest, you know, hardcore fan.
Yeah.
But he is still one of those where, like, he might be able to hold a neon sign saying, I'm Bradley Beal, and I'd still be like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, everybody else on this list, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense. Even Kawhi Leonard, right? Kawhi Leonard, he makes the same amount as Bradley Beal in endorsements, $7.5 million. But he also is like the face of NBA shoes for New Balance. Well, for now.
Mm-hmm.
But Kawhi Leonard has, and Bradley Beal doesn't have a signature shoe. He's a Nike athlete, but he doesn't have a signature shoe with Nike. Yeah. What?
That's that good Kawhi laugh.
What is Bradley Beal maybe in Pepsi commercials? And to Russ's point, we just don't know.
He did do Pepsi commercials like 5-6 years ago.
He's driving a car in the Pepsi commercial, and we're like, oh, there's that's Bradley Beal. I don't know where that comes from.
I'm not like, hey, that's Bradley Beal. I have no idea who it is.
Yeah, somebody is, though. Somebody is. Yeah, he makes $7.5 million in endorsements. It's a good deal, man. And that's when you go, NIL money in college has jumped the shark. That it's endorsements. Take a look. I present to you Bradley Beal making $7.5 million. Companies will justify paying an endorsement fee to an athlete of any kind. All right. So the $200,000 in NIL money, not that big of a deal, folks.
Yeah. I'm looking through his book here, and almost all of it is NBA adjacent. Like TV spots for like League Pass and stuff like that, because it charts like when he appears on stuff. Ooh. So he hasn't done any commercials in a while.
So is the NBA laundering money? The NBA paying its players to do their commercials?
They are trying to get back into China.
You know, that is a good question. I don't know if that, I would imagine that that is not fall under purview of like media responsibilities. I think if you do those national ads, you do get something.
You
got
to get some cash for it.
So
these players are in the pocket of the NBA?
I mean, yeah. I wonder if it's that or if they pay it out to, that's a good question. I think maybe they pay it out to the players union, and then they just have like a representative group that kind of gets cycled through.
Mm. Okay.
That's how I think it would go, but I could be wrong. That's a question I'm going to have to ask.
Here's a good point on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online, vancouverford.com. SGA's endorsements are probably mostly Canadian things, so they're, you know, not as valuable as the American ones. But that's a funny joke at the end there. But he probably does have some, you know, Tim Hortons.
Converse, Kokanee. I know he's their lead guy.
Nice.
Canada Goose.
Mm. Yeah, see, there you go. Is he
AT&T?
Canadian Mist? Remember Canadian Mist?
I don't remember that.
What, the whiskey?
No, it was like sparkling water.
You mean Clearly Canadian?
No, I don't know. I thought it was Canadian Mist.
I think you mean clearly Canadian. Canadian Mist, I believe, is like a whiskey liqueur.
Never mind.
Yeah, clearly Canadian you're talking about, which, by the way, they still make.
Oh, really?
You can find it at the old Fred Meyer or the Center of Quality Foods.
Well, yeah.
They do it in both the glass bottles and now like the tall, skinny cans.
That's exactly what I'm thinking here. Clearly Canadian. Yeah. Obviously, I have grown with my... with my palate here from clearly Canadian to Canadian Mist.
Yeah, we just had some fridge last week
whiskey.
Even.
Oh, clearly Canadian or Canadian Mist?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. The clearly
Canadian.
Do
you mix them?
I'm not a whiskey man.
Do you mix them? I feel like, and I've long had this thought in my brain, because that clearly Canadian was the first, like, the cherry flavored.
It was always a good find at Costco. It was like the only place you could find it.
I feel like people were indoctrinated to like White Claw Black Cherry by having the clearly Canadian as a kid. You're like, oh, yeah, I get down with this.
I think they have a strawberry and a peach and like a mountain blackberry.
Yeah, those are all of the flavors that I'm seeing right here, Rust. You're good.
Yeah.
You know you're clearly Canadian.
I sure as hell do.
That's for dang sure. A 12-pack, $41?
It's not... Okay, well, that's kind of ridiculous. You'll find it... You can buy it, like, in the single bottle for probably $2.29 or so. And I think a 4-pack of the bottles for, like, six-ish, $7, maybe.
Wow.
Somewhere in the $6 to $8 range for a 4-pack.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, $41 for 12. Right. That's aggressive.
That's aggressive there. I don't want that.
I have now submitted my questions with regard to whether or not guys get paid and how they get paid to a couple NBA agents.
Okay.
Because that's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a very specific thing, but I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
So.
Well, there we go.
We'll get some answer on it.
Speaking of commercials, I'm sick of election commercials. Can we get done with this?
Which ones? Oh, God. You know what I find? I said this on Twitter the other day.
Oh, my God.
The thing that I find out about during all these commercials, every one of these politicians is terrible.
Yeah.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've made no qualms about it. I don't care if you're right. I don't care if you're left. I don't care if you're center. I hate all of you.
Ooh,
all the commercials.
I hate the politicians. All of them are terrible people.
You're just like, okay.
Like
I'm getting tired of the NFL Network and their Sunday morning games and like the Jesus Gets Us commercials too. No, thank you.
Yeah,
they can go right the hell out in the trash with all the political ads too.
Okay.
Gotta buy the ad space.
Lazine here on the old YouTube chat, in the vein of the clearly Canadian, also remember the New York Seltzers?
No.
Ooh, I'm gonna have to Google. Sounds familiar.
Little Silver short, can. Stubby.
Yeah,
little
there
short,
we go.
Stubby bottles.
Stubby bottles?
Yes, stubby bottles. Ooh. Screw top bottles that you could also find at the old Coscolito.
Right, oh, see okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's, the cream.
Cream soda, that root beer, the blueberry really one, yeah. They also, they sell those at the Little Apple in Manzanita.
Well, look at that. That's exactly where when I think of New York Seltzers, I think of that little grocery store right there on the main strip in Manzanita.
Yep.
All right. Well, look at that. Going down memory lane. All these little sparkling sodas. Yeah, they have black cherry New York Seltzer too.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's where they're getting us.
Yep.
That's why we have those in the claw, right? It's because it's an original flavor. Of the old seltzers that we used to have back in the day.
Why do all the variety packs come with crappy flavors?
Because somebody likes them.
But it's like,
you know?
Every time you get a variety pack, you're like, ooh, and it doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that one's good. Oh, that one's good. That one's okay. And then there's like, oh, that
one's
what's
nice about the old, the White Claw is they have several different variety packs.
Yeah.
And there is like a single variety pack that has like, there's not one of them that is a trasher. A throwaway. They're all good. I forget which one it is.
Yeah, I think it's number three.
Ooh, and also back to old school beverages.
Mm-hmm.
We found in the Capri Sun style pouches, the Kool-Aid, Sharkleberry Finn.
I don't remember that.
No. Don't remember that.
Am I the only one?
Yeah.
There's going to be people who are like, yes!
Yeah.
The text line in the YouTube chat are going to blow up with that.
Well, the text line is very much excited about the old Zima commercials.
Yeah. Zima. They remember when Zima made a comeback, and then they were like, oh, wait, we now realize why Zima didn't work.
Yeah, well, it's because you had to put a Jolly Rancher in there.
But on the question of variety packs and having one bad flavor, like that's like when you got the Starburst, right? Like,
there's no bad Starburst.
Orange is not good.
Wow. Orange is not good.
Orange is not good, but
that's why you go for the favorite
reds. But you are the person where you open up the Starburst, and you're like, what color do you want? You would be like, I'll take the orange.
No, I mean, mm-hmm. I actively want red, but there's no bad Starburst.
Yeah. My power rankings are pink, yellow, red, orange.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah. Pink, yellow, red,
see,
orange.
I like the favor red pack that is just the
all red.
Just the cherry and but strawberry.
See, the thing is, like, there's not a bad Starburst. There are, like...
I don't know. I don't like the orange.
Actively don't like it?
I don't like the orange.
I mean, like, I'll eat it if it's there.
I mean,
I'll eat
well,
it,
yeah,
but... I mean...
But I'm saying...
I'm not gonna
like
seek it out.
Well, like, the Doritos bags. Like, it's like, you get, like, the nacho cheese and the cool ranch, and, like, and then there's, like, then there's, like, the baked Lay's, and you're like... Why is that thrown? Like, it's not even the same family.
Cool. Somebody likes the Lay's.
But I'm saying,
but this is the problem.
They're,
is
not,
like,
they're not the same family.
Cool Ranch,
you
overrated.
Know what I mean? Like, you're 100%. But this is the thing about having those variety packs.
In there.
Why is it like in the variety pack though? Sometimes you'll be like, there's 8 bags of Lay's and only 4
2
of
Cool Ranch.
No, usually it's like, yeah, 8 Dorito or 8 nacho cheese Doritos, 8 Cool Ranch, and they'll get like 4 barbecues and like 2 sour cream and onion. It's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I mean, I want more of the sour cream and onion.
Yes.
Everyone does.
That's the number one all-timer right there is the sour cream and onion.
Nobody wants the original Lay.
No.
Nobody wants the original Lay.
I like a good Lay.
I mean, not potato chips wise. All right, we're solving the world's problems.
Yeah,
one Lay at a time.
Sherry's is dead. We talked about that at the end of the show yesterday.
I think only in Oregon, though. Apparently, there's still one kicking in, like in the Couve.
Oh, so this is going to be like
they closed the Oregon locations.
Mm. This is going to be like Blockbuster Video all
also,
over again.
Also, didn't realize it was a Beaverton-based.
Yeah, Beaverton-based restaurant. Yeah,
didn't know that.
Indeed.
R.I.P. Sherry's.
Look, Sherry's was great. We all had a soft spot for that, but let's be honest, I could barely make it home from there before I had to like take care of some things.
No, man,
we'll
look
that way.
When the restaurants kind of opened back up post COVID, there's the Sherry's in Newburgh, and that was like one of the few places that I would get
4 blocks from your house.
Like 7.
Okay.
So it's a little, it's right
a
on
little
the, it's
further
right,
out than everything
it's
else.
It's right on the edge of town, like right when you come into town.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
Sherry's was...
comfort food.
Well, no. That's where after like football games or basketball games in high school, that's where you could go and it was open late and you'd, you know, pick up on chicks. There was nothing open 24 hours.
I was a theater kid, and after our plays, that's where we'd go and
so,
have some milkshakes and french fries and such.
See? Shout out to Sherry's for helping the high school kids pick up chicks.
Okay, first of all...
More dudes.
Back to the variety packs. Everybody's
okay.
You have to put the bad one in there, otherwise the warehouse would fill up with a bad one. Stop making the bad one.
That's a good point.
That's an alternative option.
That's a good point.
Well, but look, everybody's got their own king.
Good point. Well, and that's why they're in there.
See, well,
right?
Here's the thing.
Grandpa is going to be at the family barbecue. He's going to want
Lay's.
Some Lay's.
Here's the thing.
You know?
Everybody who says, like, well, you know, the original is the best seller. It's like, well, yeah, the one they've been producing for
so
100
years. So is vanilla
years.
Ice cream.
Exactly. It's like, but.
So is Jay Leno.
All right, I'm going to die on this hill. Vanilla ice cream and Fritos. Elite combination.
I'm not going to push back on this because the whole salty sweet thing I'm down with, but I still haven't done it.
Yeah, you need to do it.
I mean, I've done the French fry and Frosty.
I was going to say, that's the furthest I go is the French fry and the Frosty.
I mean, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing, but add a little crispness to it.
Which
it's so
I think
good.
I'm okay with.
It's good.
Yeah, I could get down with that.
Yeah, I mean that. There's few things that I picked up from Old Man Hera that will last the test of time. Mm. Vanilla ice cream and Fritos are one of them. He's the same man that likes Boston baked beans and Good and Plenty. So, you know,
ooh.
You know, like he loves a jujubes.
The texture of a Good and Plenty
jujubes,
like chewing the outside candy of it off of it,
just
and
awful.
And then slowly getting to the licorice bite in the middle.
No, awful.
I don't know why I associate that with my childhood.
If you like
probably
black licorice,
my parents,
I judge you.
I don't like. Here's the thing. I don't like black licorice.
I'll mess with the Good and Plenty every now and
like,
then.
There's something about that combo that works.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because otherwise I'm like, ugh, black licorice. Yeah. Weird.
It's terrible.
Isn't it weird that licorice started as black licorice and then it went into the other flavors?
Well, yeah, because they realized this stuff sucks.
Yeah.
We need to make it better somehow.
And
like,
they like
changed the entire flavor of it.
See, they went, not like tangential, they went, what can we do with this that doesn't suck?
That's right.
Pretty impressive.
There was a, and it came in like a green box too. This is another Old Man Hera that I picked up. It was like a mint cookie. They were like Thin Mints, but they were a little bit thicker. Spacing on the name.
We're talking like the Keebler Grasshoppers?
Well, kind of. Yes, kind of. But it was a, it was its own brand. Came in a big green package. But it, they're like Thin Mints, right?
Gotcha.
Freezers.
Mm-hmm.
Only freezer, right? Yeah. That's another one.
That'll at the bare minimum, the refrigerator.
Yeah. You put those in the freezer. They're delicious every time.
Okay.
But the Frito-Lays in vanilla
this
ice cream
is cereal killer behavior.
Is something I'll do.
I used to do a version of a root beer float. Vancouver Vortex Line, not me. I would use peppermint ice cream and Mountain Dew.
Huh.
Well, that's a lot going on. Number one, I hate mint ice cream. So
well, I love mint ice cream.
I like peppermint ice cream, too. I'm trying to think of like what
the good old green chocolate chip mint.
Ugh. I'm trying to think of what that flavor would be. It doesn't sound great.
I know what the flavor would be. It's called awful.
Do you remember when you were a kid and you would grab the fountain soda and you would do like every flavor?
Oh, the graveyard. Suicide.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We either called one. It the graveyard.
Either
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
That's what this sounds like, the ice cream version of that.
You know, okay. Here's what I think I think the taste of that and what it probably is. I think that is probably, remember like when you'd have like the Halloween party at school and they would have like, I don't know what the 7-Up, but then they put like rainbow sherbet ice cream in it.
That was a banger.
Yeah.
That was a banger. Just, I'm thinking
old punch.
I'm thinking that is what the peppermint ice cream Mountain Dew combo kind of tastes like there.
Mm.
I think that's probably the closest thing that I could go with of what it would taste like. And when you say the old school punch, again, something we learned when
like
we were children,
punch.
And then we grew up, we go to college, and we just turn that into Everclear, and it's jungle juice later down
then
the road.
Then it's called the
right?
pink panty pull down. Wait, what?
Okay. all right.
That's what we called it.
Okay. Whoa.
Or what they called it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yes, but no.
Not on the air, I didn't.
All right. It is time for us to go. We've got a lot that we've got to get to today. We got a sports. We got a sports so hard. Where we got to start this bad boy off? Another MVP next on The Fan. Boy, I'll tell you what. That last segment got away from us.
That might be
it. Did.
That one really got away from us.
I don't think I even looked at the clock once.
Right and there. Break.
Yeah, well, we're minus 1 minute here. Whoa.
I'm sure the boss is loving us right now.
Well, I'm sure he is because, look.
It was all very important business.
It really was. I mean, I'm not going to lie to the people here. The people, they were the ones engaging the most in that conversation.
Yeah.
That's why it just got,
it gets the people going.
Way from
we can't
us.
Just cut them off.
Yeah, you start talking about what foods you're putting in a freezer.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez.
Right?
That's a whole other one. And then don't even get me started on licorice flavors. They've upped the licorice game. I digress. We have a sports show, damn it, that probably will get away from us several more times. Yeah. So let's use this time right now to set the table for what's coming up today. 2 o'clock, we will have our three up, three down, the three things that are going positive and negative in the NFL. We will have head coach Dan Lanning's comments on Oregon being the number one team in the country. Boy, he caught me by surprise on that one.
It
sure was a response that he had.
It was a very Dan Lanning response, though.
Yeah, we'll talk Ashton Jeanty, Boise State's star running back, now front runner for the Heisman Trophy. Guess what is back, Danny? The NBA. It's back.
Oh.
The NBA is back.
Lots of it.
Oh, did we catch you by surprise on that one?
Actually, not a lot of it today.
No, tomorrow night.
There's only two games today.
It's a soft launch today.
Yeah. It's a little taster tonight.
Man, I know what they're doing, but are these really the best games that we could throw out there today?
No, the Celtics wanted to tease the Knicks on their ring ceremony.
Yeah.
Which
I'm here for.
You get to choose. It's kind of like a, do you want to bring the Knicks to town or do you want to bring the Heat to town?
Well,
I understand the Knicks and Celtics and Lakers, but we're throwing the T-Wolves in there too?
Exciting little team. Exciting little team. Exciting little exciting little team. Yeah, really damn good team last year who traded one of their star players to New York
yeah.
and got some role players. It could be really damn good. Really good. So we got the NBA coming back, but where we're going to start this bad boy off, he may be on another MVP run.
Mm.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Just a really good route. He gives a little nod. McCollum's expecting the ball to be thrown out to the boundary.
Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Lamar Jackson put on a show last night, Monday Night Football. The Baltimore Ravens beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 41-31.
Mm.
That over of 51.5. Blasted through that.
Cleared through that
72
one.
72 points in Monday Night Football.
Scoring's back.
Well, one of the games. The other game was not. Mm-hmm. I watched. I had two screens going. I watched the Cardinals-Chargers game.
I did not. I took peeks at this game on my phone.
Oh.
I had family stuff to deal to not deal with, but to take care of.
Jeez Louise. 17-15 was the Chargers. Five field goals for LA.
Hard pass.
I
know they have
all of the points were on ESPN.
But my God, that offense is so anemic.
Not between like the 20 and the 50. Mm. They cross the 50 and you go, what happened?
Mm.
What? Why can't you move the ball anymore? Herbert has no receivers. The interior of that offensive line is god-awful.
Yes.
God-awful.
Like, we can acknowledge
guard,
all the shortcomings.
Guard, center, guard.
But also go,
terrible.
Wow.
How are they that bad?
Yeah,
they have no receivers.
Well, I mean, it's just like,
well, if only they had somebody like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
I don't know.
I don't know if Mike Williams is going to help anything. I don't know if you've seen him.
Keenan's pretty cooked.
Yep. Well, it was good they got off those guys, but they have no replacements yet. They've got interior offensive line issues, lack of weapons. Herbert is running around throwing for 350, and I don't know how he got to 350 yards. That was the weirdest 349-yard game I've ever seen in my life. But all of the points were actually on television, not on ESPN Plus, between the Ravens and the Buccaneers. Lamar Jackson put on a damn show. 17 of 22, 281, 5 tutties, no interceptions. A near perfect quarterback rating. Was it 158.3, I believe, is the perfect quarterback rating? He was 158.1.
Mm-hmm. Coward.
He had just as many touchdowns as incompletions.
Mm.
Five.
Those are good days.
Five.
Those are good days.
The guy who can't throw the ball is throwing the ball all over the field right now. And I think that's the most impressive part about what we're seeing from Lamar Jackson. He's throwing the ball in the middle of the field. He is throwing the ball to the outside. Are they manufacturing easy throws for him? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Derrick Henry being his running back has opened up everything that Lamar Jackson does well.
Yeah, it turns out when you have eight sets of eyes on your running back every play.
I don't know. I'm not going to take that. I believe, like, Lamar Jackson is a really good quarterback.
He is improved. There's no doubt about it.
He is absolutely, I mean, he had his best game I've ever seen him play.
I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm saying this is what, when you take a good quarterback who's improved to great, because the question, my question with Lamar, what was it, 2 years ago, was always, can he strike downfield consistently, and can he work the middle? Yeah, and can you work the middle of the field consistently?
Yeah,
and he, number one, last 2 years has gotten significantly better about pushing the ball down the field consistently with accuracy, and he's improved over the middle of the field. And then you add Derrick Henry to that mix, and all of a sudden he becomes an absolute world beater.
I think what we're seeing is what Derrick Henry can be with a competent quarterback. I will flip what you said. I will flip that on its head and say what Derrick Henry is capable of doing now. I mean, we always knew Tractocito season is heating up, right?
Yeah.
This is the time, end of October into the late stage of the season.
Down.
He becomes an absolute monster. Mm-hmm. He is on pace this year for 2,120 yards. Mm-hmm. And 19 touchdowns. Yeah.
And they're currently on pace for the second best rushing offense in NFL history.
And a lot of that, Derrick Henry, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But so is Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And like the runs that Lamar is able to pop off with having Derrick Henry in the backfield is unbelievable. He's already seven games this season, Derrick Henry's at 873 rushing yards. He's averaging 6.5 yards a carry. And I think that with the way that Lamar Jackson is playing, it is leading Derrick Henry to having more of those, not just the explosive runs, but the productive runs between mm-hmm. tackles, right? Because when you have Lamar, you can't account for four of your defenders to just key on Derrick Henry in the backfield. Number 22 is going to make his impact felt. And that 81-yard touchdown run he had, I know he said he's slow and he needs to work on his speed. That dude is explosive mm-hmm. as ever before. He should be on that carry threshold, right? Where guys start going yeah. downhill in their career.
We've thought about that for the last 3 years.
It's unreal what yeah. he is doing.
Turns out, being 6'4" and 260 pounds, you wear on people more than they wear on you.
Mutant. A mutant.
The insane thing about Derrick Henry, to me this year, is not that he's finally with a functional offense.
Yeah.
It's how many 60-plus yard runs he's broken off. And you see him pulling away. It's just like, wait, what? This is a guy, like, if you were like, what was Derrick Henry's longest run? And if you didn't know, you'd probably be like, yeah, he probably broke a 60-yarder here or there. It's like, mm-mm. no, he has a 99-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He has a 90-plus yard touchdown. Oh, no, it was 87 this year, right? The big one that he broke?
Yeah, I thought it was 90.
I thought it was too, but maybe it was just under 90.
87. Yeah, okay. It is 87.
Yeah. And I think he's broken off two more 80-yarders and I think three 60-yarders this year, if I'm remembering right. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing when you, like, the freak, you know, the Alvin Kamaras get an open space and you know, in their prime and take off. Reggie Bush takes off. Bijan. Like, those are the kind of guys you think, like, get in space, make a guy miss, and they're off to the races. This is, like, sometimes the biggest guy on the field, not in the trenches,
mm-hmm.
pulling away from DBs. And you're just like, how do you deal with this? How do you load the, like, how do you load the box accordingly in the new style NFL defenses where your linebackers aren't 260 pounds anymore? I would be actually really interested, and I'm sure somebody's already done this, if you went and looked at the size, the height and weight of linebackers now versus 15 years ago. Because if you look at Derrick Henry, he's the same size as Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're dealing with.
It's not fair that he is so huge and massive and that fast.
Yes, and like, but you take a look, there's a lot of strong safeties that have moved up to linebacker, and you've got these guys that are 225, 230 that, you know, you're quote-unquote loading the box, or you've got the extra DB, or you go six DBs, and all of a sudden you just see these little guys that are just bouncing off, and the style and contrast that Derrick Henry has with being able to pummel these defenses that aren't built to stop a man like him, while also having the finesse and evasiveness of a Lamar Jackson, not only in the running game, but the passing game. It's one of the starkest contrasts I think we've ever had in NFL history.
Derrick Henry is 6'2", 247 pounds.
He's bigger than that.
Well, that's what he's listed at. The average NFL linebacker is 244 pounds.
Yeah, there you go.
In 2013, there were only 19 linebackers under 240. In 2023, there are 40.
Yeah, there it is.
Linebackers.
There it is.
Under 240 pounds.
They're all 225, 230.
The
now.
NFL draft class of linebackers is the second lightest in the last decade.
Yeah. They're all light in the cheeks, man.
Yeah. So that, to your point, true. Also, counterpoint to what Derrick Henry said of him being slow AF on that 81-yard run, he was clocked at a top speed of 21.72 miles per hour, which is the fifth fastest of any ball carrier in the NFL this season.
Uh-huh.
The man who ran him down, Zion McCollum, hit a top speed of 21.85 miles per hour.
Good Lord.
To save the touchdown. And that's the part about Derrick Henry that makes him so terrifying is that, so Zion McCollum hits 21.85. Usually what Henry does is he stiff arms you or he runs off that tackle, because if you are fast enough to catch him, you are not big enough to take him down. And that he
shout
just
to Josh Norman.
Well, shout out to using the sideline as a defender too, and just being like, we're gonna pinch him. He is a freak.
Because once he squares, you're done.
Done.
The second he squares and plants that left leg, if he's going off that left tackle, and he gets upfield, pray.
That was a heck of a football game. Lamar, he played out of this world. Mm-hmm. And when you think about how the other great quarterbacks in the NFL are playing right now, could we see another MVP year for Lamar Jackson? Mahomes is statistically having a down year. Josh Allen is having a very good year. It's not Lamar Jackson right now. Aaron Rodgers isn't that guy right now. Who is pushing Lamar Jackson right now, as you head into week 8 of the NFL season, almost a midway point for the MVP? I mean, Lamar Jackson is playing incredible football right now. Their defense is not
so weird because you're so used to the Ravens being good on defense, and they're not even good and great on defense, and they're not even good. They're a bad defense.
Well, you think of they gave up 31 points, you could be like, that's an aberration, that's an anomaly. They're averaging 25 points a game allowed.
Yeah, no, they're getting carved. Like, this is barely a bend don't break defense. Barely. And the only reason I think they're mildly successful in that is because their offense has become so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Realistically, because they just continually find themselves in shootouts. And it's such a strange contrast, because that front office and everything they've done, it's the same. It doesn't matter who's actually running things. Stylistically, organizationally, how they have been built has been the same. Can you see why this defense is the way that it is? It doesn't make sense.
Well, yes, they no longer have one really good defender on that defense. I mean, and he's now playing in Philly, Patrick Queen.
Yeah.
He's really dang good.
I guess Roquan Smith can't do everything.
And their defensive coordinator is now the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks.
That's fair.
I mean, they had some turnover.
You just look at their roster, though, defensively, and you're just like, this should be a better team.
Yeah, well,
it just, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I think
that's the one thing, though, that you sit there and you say they're 5-2 right now, they're winning in shootouts. If that defense comes back around,
then they're scary.
Then they are Super Bowl favorite. They are a Super Bowl favorite. On the other side of things, Baker Mayfield threw for a lot of yards. He threw for a lot of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Costly interception. Oof. And costly injuries may be dooming the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers not just lost Monday Night Football. They lost their two best receivers, man. Oof. Boy.
They are the banged up team of the year. The good team that probably is playoff bound if they're healthy. But they are just decimated.
I would like to raise you the San Francisco 49ers.
Here's the thing. Debo, constantly injured.
Yeah.
Kittle, constantly injured.
Yeah.
McCaffrey, constantly injured.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucs are not littered with guys that you're like, oh yeah, those are injury-prone players.
I would like to quote the tweet of Matt Ford yesterday.
Yeah, this is disgusting.
The 49ers' healthiest receiver right now was shot in the chest 2 months ago.
Did you have that one on your bingo card?
Huh.
That's tough. Is he wrong?
No, because
Debo is in the hospital with pneumonia.
He played with fluid in his lungs.
Juwan Jennings out with a hip. Brandon Ayuk torn ACL. Ricky Pearsall just came back after getting shot in the chest.
Yeah. When your injury report says GSW for gunshot wound, that's tough. It's not standing for Golden State Warrior.
Matt Ford was not wrong.
No, he wasn't.
That is...
Hey, but you know who got a shot at all this, right? No, God, maybe you got a shot at all this. Jacob Cowling. Jacob Cowling getting on the field for
former
the
49ers. Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah.
He's been their punt returner, but actually getting a little bit of run. And this is where, like, the Buccaneers, they're in trouble too here. Mike Evans goes out with a hamstring injury, and then... they were still putting up yards, putting up numbers, and Baker Mayfield, he put on a show, man. He was gunslinging, putting the ball all over the field. But that was an injury that Evans was dealing with before. the big one for them is they lost Chris Godwin to a dislocated ankle. ESPN refusing to put that thing back on TV. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. But we are now going to have the NFL review the elements of a hip drop tackle in that play, because Roquan Smith, there was about, I don't know, of the seven markers that they look for a hip drop tackle, Roquan Smith had at least a couple of them. Dead weight, pulling from behind, went down on the back of Godwin's legs, thus the dislocation of the ankle. Adam Schefter's reporting that the NFL is reviewing that for potential fine as a hip drop tackle.
Yeah, if anybody's going to get hit with one, it's going to be this one, because the injury did happen, and it was a nasty injury, and it's to a high-level player. I think it's kind of like, you know, that's going to get the attention. And here's the way I'll put it. If he doesn't get fined, nobody is.
Okay.
If it doesn't happen here, it's entirely toothless, and they need to scrap it.
Here is where I looked at this and I said, we're really asking this question? You hear the question Todd Bowles got after the game? Because that play happened with a minute and 4 seconds to go, with the Buccaneers down by 10. Chris Godwin got injured in that way.
He's a player. We're trying to win the ball game. I mean, we were still down 10. We're trying to get extra points and kick another onside kick. It just happened. We might have gone down. We didn't have that many receivers left as it was, so we play what we got.
Isn't that even more, perhaps, important to preserve Chris for the Falcons if Mike's possibly not going to play?
Well, you can say that because he got hurt. We don't second guess. We got our guys. We're playing everybody we got. It's unfortunate he got hurt. We feel bad about that. But he's a football player, and he wanted to be in the game, just like Baker and everybody else wanted to be in the game.
Okay. Todd Bowles is catching heat that Chris Godwin was in the game. There is a limited roster that the NFL has. And you can only have 48 players active during a game. You have an active squad of 53, but on game day, it goes down to 48.
49 with the emergency quarterback.
So
if you have one.
What Todd Bowles was asked there, and there was so much misinformation going out last night, because the Buccaneers attempted two onside kicks, got one of them. Okay, late in the game, there's a minute and 4 seconds to go. Why is Chris Godwin even in the game? They're still trying to win the game, first of all. The guy who tackled him was Roquan Smith, also starter for the Baltimore Ravens. People were like, why would you have him in the game? Don't you want to preserve him? You literally did not have enough active receivers with the Mike Evans injury. They only had three other active receivers on the roster.
Oops.
What are you going to just run 12 personnel and say, good job, we lost this game, and go? No, with a minute and 4 seconds left, you're trying to, and Baker Mayfield even confirmed it. He was like, no, we had the conversation on the sideline. Hey, we get this. We're got to go down. We score a quick one. We can try to tie this game with a field goal as time expires. I don't understand that. If you're going to ask the question of why was Chris Godwin in the game, you have to understand how many players you have active. On your roster, the fact that this is the NFL, not college football, where you have 100 guys on the sidelines suited up, you're limited by your numbers and the fact that you're always competing to try and win a game. It sucks when you have a guy get hurt like Chris Godwin. That sucks for him, man. He seems like a really good dude. Do you see what he was saying afterwards on the cart? Back to work. He goes back to work.
Okay.
You know, this is a guy who went down with a knee injury, tore his ACL in 2021, came back. He's been really good, really productive, really effective. I hate that for Chris Godwin, but I hate that for Todd Bowles, too, having to answer that question, because what are you supposed to do? Like, who do you want out there?
Who's supposed to go out there?
You want us to put a tight end at receiver and just say, yeah, it's okay, we're going to lose the game? That's not how these guys are wired.
No.
It really is not how they're wired. So that sucks for Godwin. Sucks for the Buccaneers too.
They just keep getting snake bit, like, by injuries.
Are they even a playoff team now?
Probably not. It's because they just keep getting beat up.
They're 4-3. Godwin's done.
Yeah.
Mike Evans probably done for a few weeks. Your upcoming schedule
and your secondary's been beat to death all season.
Death. You have the Falcons, Chiefs, Niners. Next well, three games.
Niners are probably the most winnable of those three.
Don't tell the Seahawks that. Seahawks, as Kirk Cousins would say, went into their trap and won. Do we know? Do you think Kirk Cousins knows what a trap house is?
Somebody explain it to him 100%.
Because when Kirk Cousins took the podium and started talking about trap houses, I was like, oh, he has no idea. He has no idea.
Or does he?
Ooh, Kirk Cousins, criminal mastermind?
I like it. This is like the Mr. Rogers was secretly a
CIA
agent. Yeah, I like that.
I bet he was. I bet Fred Rogers was.
He was also linked to the
Army Rangers
sniper. Yeah,
yeah. That was look. We've had a lot of those. Mm-hmm. Bob Ross, Fred Rogers, and then Captain Kangaroo, who I think actually was an Army Ranger.
I think he was. Yeah. There was somebody else that did do like children's television that was a recon sniper, less famous. I need to pull it up. But there was one.
Bozo the Clown.
Well, wasn't Bob Ross a military man?
There was the rumor that he was like an Army Ranger, and then a drill sergeant was another one. Mm-hmm. But I think he was just drafted into Vietnam, gotcha. Like a lot of people were.
Well, and I think I also heard too, like he never took a paycheck for his show, or at least the money that came from it, he donated to somewhere or gave somewhere else.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good dude. That Bob Ross.
All right. Famous veteran Bob Ross here.
There you go.
He was in the Air Force.
It was Captain Kangaroo.
He was a drill instructor. Yeah. Bob Ross was a drill instructor.
Which is insane to think about, painting happy little trees. But also...
Yeah, just imagine him right alongside Arlie Ermey.
Well, that's the thing is like...
It really doesn't toughen up your time in the Air Force, Danny. Bob Ross was drill instructor.
No. Like, yeah, if you know drill instructors, there's like...
Happy little push-up.
What they were as drill instructors was always like the complete opposite of what they were as humans. It was like I ran.
Except for Arlie Ermey.
Well, no, he was a cuddly little bear too.
Why don't you get down there and give me 20?
He got that part in Full Metal Jacket because he started out as like a consultant basically, and they were like, "No, wait, we have to give him the role."
Yeah, but I mean I actually ran into him in Vegas. Vegas, like 15 years ago. Couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, I bet
he is.
Just
totally awesome, great, incredibly cordial dude. Just salt of the earth kind of guy. Mm. It's something that you just turn on. Yeah. And it's almost like an alter ego superhero kind of thing. Like when you put the uniform on, you're just different. When you're a drill instructor. It's truly...
Like the movie Major Payne.
Yes. Yes.
Damon Wayans.
I love that move. I
never actually saw that one.
Oh, it's so terrible, but it's so, so, so good. It has so many one-liners.
Well, what about Major Dad?
I don't remember
that
one.
Major Dad was a sitcom.
Good old, Gerald McRaney.
Yeah.
That one's not ringing a bell.
I remember in college watching Sergeant Bilko.
Oh, there you go.
With a couple of my
Steve
buddies.
Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's just say... we had consumed some substances before I watched it.
Oh, you know way.
Yeah, no, weird, right? Thought it was the funniest thing over. Came home for Christmas break, and I told my parents, I'm like, oh my God, you guys, you have to watch this movie. It's hilarious. And I sat down, stone cold sober, and watched it with them. I was like, oh, this is awful. This is terrible.
That's when the first red flag went up for the Rust parents. All right. Hey, we've got, I don't know how we got to drill sergeants, but we're there. We got the opening night of the NBA tonight, huh?
How did you put that weapon together so fast, Private Gump?
There is something that is falling very fast, and I can't understand why. Danny Dusty on the Fan.